Good morning. How's everybody this morning? Good. So glad that you are here. If you are a guest with us today, thank you so much for being with us. And it's our hope and prayer that our service will be a blessing to you. If you are a guest, hopefully when you came in, you received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you'll just take a moment, fill that out. Drop it in the offering plate when it comes by. That would be a big help to us. Or you could just place it on the information table right out here on the in the foyer, and that would we would get it that way as well. Hopefully you also, and everybody else along with you, got a bulletin this morning. So open it up. Let's take a look at some of the things that are going on. So two important things. Wednesday at noon, we have Joy Lunch at Red Robin over by the mall on Milwaukee. So if you have the time available to be able to come and join us for lunch at Red Robin, we would love to be able to have you do that. Also, next week is church family dinner. Woo! Yes! Okay? And the theme is going to be winner, winner, chicken dinner. All right? And so you have details there about it. So I hope that you'll plan and stay with us for dinner to be able to enjoy some great food and some great conversation and just be able to just share with our church family. If you are fairly new to Lake Hazel Bible Church and you've been wondering how you can get to know people in our church, this is a great opportunity. Come and stay for church family dinner and sit around the table and get to know people. There's another opportunity for you to be able to get to know people. And if you have a mail slot out here in the foyer, then you have a brand new pictorial directory just hot off of the press just a couple days ago in your mail slot. So you might want to go by and you might want to look. If you don't have one in your mail slot, see Becky and we will get that taken care of, okay? All right? And so that's a great way for you to be able to, and for those of us that have been around Lake Hazel Bible Church for a long time, it's a great way for us to be able to get to know those that are new to Lake Hazel Bible Church as well, right? Well, today's Mother's Day, so happy Mother's Day. So I want every mother to stand up. Every mother stand up just for a few moments. If you're a mom, stand up, okay? All right, let's give them a round of applause, okay? All right, thank you, ladies. Thanks for being here on Mother's Day to join us for worship here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. We also here at Lake Hazel Bible Church, even though it's Mother's Day, we don't just focus on mothers. We focus on ladies. And so we've got several ladies that we're going to recognize for some special things this morning. Number one, we have a chess champion among us. First place chess champion for 11th grade. So Alyssa Montano, please stand up. All right, she's way back there in the back. Yeah, she's the one turning bright red, okay? All right. So if you know how to play chess, you don't want to play her. Okay, she is really, really good. And so we're just so happy for her, amen? Isn't that great? And then today we have a young lady that's with us who today is her birthday. So she's also turning beet red right now. So Sarah, stand so that we can sing happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday
to you, Sarah. Happy birthday to you. All right, if you see her this morning, make sure you go up to her and wish her a happy birthday. Okay, no, she's not 16 yet. Okay, right? Right, okay. All right, just in case they were wondering. So people think that I'm the boss of the church and I make things happen here at church. And that's not necessarily true. I have several ladies who help make things happen around this church. And I thought it would be fitting this morning, since it's Ladies' Day here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. It may be Mother's Day on the calendar, but it's Ladies' Day here. That we just take a moment and we just honor these ladies who carry some specific responsibilities here at Lake Hazel Bible Church to help make things happen. So ladies, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. I'm going to ask you when I call out your name to come forward. I have a little thing for you. And just stay up here at the front, because when I'm done, giving you what it is that I have to give you in appreciation from me and from our church family as to what it is that you do here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. I want to say a prayer for you as a group of ladies who work so diligently and serve so diligently here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. So in no particular order, okay, just so that we get that straight, okay, Michelle Lockey. So Michelle takes care of our prayer chain. So if you need a prayer request or you need information to go down the prayer chain, Michelle is the one that you contact, and her information is in the bulletin. If you can't get a hold of her, you can get a hold of me, and usually I can get a hold of her as well. So Michelle, come on down, and let's give her a hand as she comes. You send her a prayer chain. She sends me a text and says, how do we send this down the prayer chain? And so even though I tell her I trust her, she still asks for my input. And that I appreciate that. I really do. All right, Lisa Cable. Lisa Cable takes care of our Christian education along with Robert. But I think Lisa probably, because I know Robert, does a whole lot more of it than he does. But she just makes him look really, really good. And I appreciate that. So she does children's church and Sunday school, putting together the people to be able to serve in those, putting the schedule together. She also leads and has been leading our women's Bible study. And so, Lisa, I appreciate all that you do, as well as Michelle. I appreciate all that you do. Let's give her a hand. And the last Sunday of every month, we do communion. And we cannot do communion if there isn't anybody to set it up. And so Jennifer Ritchie, she works really hard at setting up communion every month for us. Not only that, she bakes our communion bread, and we have the best communion bread in the whole Treasure Valley because it's homemade, it's home-baked. And so I'm so thankful for that. So Jennifer, come on up. And then Tammy Treese is the coordinator for our women's ministries. So come on up, Tammy. And that's quite a job in and of itself. All right, and then Christy Schofield. You know, when you come into church and you see the place decorated, it's because of Christy Schofield. She is also responsible for the kitchen. So when you see the kitchen and it's got all the supplies and it's all organized and everything, she's the one responsible for doing all of that. So Christy, come on up. And then there's Andrea Olson. Andrea Olson is our Awana co-commander. She takes care of our church Facebook page. How many of you knew we had a church Facebook page? Well, now you do. Okay? All right. And if you have any questions about it, you can ask Andrea. Don't ask me because I know nothing about it at all. Okay? And so that's why she takes care of it. How many of you have ever wandered down the hallway and seen the bulletin board down on the right side of the wall? How many of you have ever done that? Andrea takes care of the bulletin boards. She makes sure that those are changed out. She's also our nursery coordinator. So she's also my daughter, by the way. How many of you knew that? All right, good. Okay, all right. And then I can't leave this person out. So Becky Tremaine. She is our Awana commander. She does the weekly bulletin. Some of you probably think you just show up on Sunday mornings and the bulletin elves have come in and done the bulletin and had it all ready for Sunday. It's Becky, okay, who does that. And so she also helps me with putting on the social events that we do here at church, and she's the one who keeps me grounded, okay, and keeps me level. And that's a hard, hard job for anybody to be able to do. So let's give these ladies a nice round of applause. All right? Because combined, they're the ones that make things happen here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. Okay? All right, well, let's pray. Father, I'm so grateful for the opportunity we have today to be able to honor ladies and to be able to honor these special ladies who work so hard serving you to be able to make LHBC what it is. And Father, I'm just so grateful for the talents that you've given to them. I'm so thankful for the time that they give to you and to us. Father, they make our church go. They make our church what it is. And Father, I'm just so pleased to be able to have them here doing what they do for you here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. So Father, I pray that this little bit of honoring would mean something to them, but I pray that you'll find ways today to be able to honor them even more. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, one last, as they go to their seats, one last round of applause. All right, worship team, let's get after it.
Would you all stand with me as we begin this morning with the Solid Rock, My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength for each day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. With numberless blessings each moment he crowns, and filled with his fullness divine, I sing in my rapture, oh glory to God, for such a redeemer as mine. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. When clothed in his brightness, transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, His wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of His love and covers me there with His hand. And covers me there with His hand.
Please go ahead and be seated as we continue this morning. God, we're so thankful that we can trust You in Your faithfulness. We can trust You to be the solid rock that we can stand firm upon and never be shaken. Lord, You are the only one trustworthy and true like that. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name.
Oh, the priceless gift You are to me, the mountain of my sin You washed away. Oh, the miracle You made of me, the shadow of my night You turned to day. And I'm in awe of how much You love me. I'm so in awe of how much You love me. I can't thank You enough. I can't give You enough for all You've done. You have loved me so much. You're more than enough. And I will live to worship You alone. 'Cause You are greater than any other love. You are greater than any riches of the world. You are greater than anyone. And I will live to worship. I will live to worship You. Countless are the thoughts You have of me. My first and final days are in Your hands. Unthinkable that You would call me friend. The words that You deserve could not exist. And I'm in awe of how much You love me. I'm so in awe of how much You love me. I can't thank You enough. I can't give You enough for all You've done. You have loved me so much. You're more than enough. And I will live to worship You alone. 'Cause You are greater than any other love. You are greater than any riches of the world. You are greater than anyone. And I will live to worship. I will live to worship You alone. There's nothing that compares to You. No one can compare to You. There's nothing that compares to You. No one can compare to You. I can't thank You enough. I can't give You enough for all You've done. You have so much. You're more than enough, and I will live to worship you alone, 'cause you are greater than any other love. You are greater than any riches of the world. You are greater than anyone, and I will live to worship. I will live to worship you alone. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. Change my heart, O God. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. The potter. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, oh God, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. May I be like you.
Lord, that's our prayer today, is to be more like Jesus today than yesterday. And I pray, Lord, that in a year from now, 5 years, 10 years, we would be more like Jesus than today. Lord, we want to walk in the Jesus way because it's worth it, because you're worth it. You're worthy of our praise when we sing that we will live to worship you alone. We mean it. We will live to worship you, Lord, because you're worth it. In Jesus' name, amen. As the ushers are going to take this morning's offering, we're going to sing you a song that you probably have heard on the radio, and it's called The Jesus Way.
If you curse me, then I will bless you. If you hurt me, I will forgive. And if you hate me, then I will love you. I choose the Jesus way. And if you're helpless, I will defend you. And if you're burdened, I'll share the weight. And if you're hopeless, then let me show you there's hope in the Jesus way. I follow Jesus, I follow Jesus. He wore my sin, I'll gladly wear his name. He is the treasure, he is the answer. Oh, I choose the Jesus way.
And
And if you strike me, I will embrace you. And if you chain me, I'll sing his praise. And if you kill me, my home is heaven, for I choose the Jesus way. I follow Jesus, I follow Jesus. He wore my sin, I'll gladly wear his name. He is the treasure, he is the answer. Oh, I choose the Jesus way. I choose surrender, I choose love. Oh God, my Savior, you'll always be enough. I choose forgiveness, I choose grace. I choose to worship no matter what I face. I choose the Jesus way. 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 I follow Jesus. I follow Jesus. He wore my sin. I'll gladly wear his name. He is the treasure. He is the answer. Oh, I choose the Jesus way. He is the treasure. He is the answer. Oh, I choose the Jesus way.
You know, as we were singing that song, I couldn't help but feel the tension, right? Because there's a tension. I think deep down inside, we all want to choose the Jesus way. But the enemy comes along and he goes, no, there's another way. Let me pull you in that direction. And we feel that tension, don't we? And sometimes we make the right decision to what? Choose the Jesus way. And sometimes we don't. But you know what's neat? Is even the times we don't, Jesus is still there. He's there waiting for us to be able to come and to choose his way once again. Aren't you glad for that this morning? I know that I am. All right, children, come on down and we'll get you sent off to Children's Church. So did you already say Happy Mother's Day to Mom? Good. If you haven't, make that something you do right after church, okay? Don't let any moment go by without doing that. Father, we're so grateful to be able to be here this morning. And Father, we want to be a people that choose the Jesus way. And we know that that's not always easy. And Father, whether we be children or whether we be teens or whether we be adults or whether we be senior citizens, it doesn't get any easier. So Father, I pray that you will help us every moment of every day to choose the Jesus way. Father, I thank you for this opportunity we have to be able to open your word and to be able to learn more about the Jesus way. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Go have a great day. Turn with me, if you will, to Titus chapter 2. And we've already talked about the fact that this morning we're going to honor some ladies. And Titus chapter 2 gives ladies some instruction, ladies within the church, some instructions. But men, that doesn't mean we can go to sleep. That doesn't mean we can close our minds and close our hearts. Because the things that I'm going to share with the ladies can also apply to you and I as men. So I found this joke that just tickled me. I found it a while ago, and I just want to share it this morning. A woman was on the phone with the mechanic, and she said, there's trouble with the car. It has water in the carburetor. The mechanic, water in the carburetor? That's ridiculous. The woman said, I tell you, the car is water in the carburetor. The mechanic, ma'am, do you know what a carburetor is? I'll come over and I'll check it out. Where's the car? Woman, it's in the pool. So Jared, if the car is in the pool, there's water in the carburetor, right? Bad day. Not a good day. All right. And then I found this. So ladies, if you didn't like the last joke, you'll like this one. Okay? I found the top 10 things men know about women, and I've asked Jeremy to put them up on the screen for you. There they are. Ta-da! Ba-dum, ba-dum, right? Okay? Isn't that good? I saw that and I went, I got to use this. I just got to use this. Okay? So, all right. We're going to change gears. We're going to investigate God's word this morning and find out about a woman's touch. So Paul, here in Titus chapter 2, gives Titus instructions. Now, Titus is the pastor of the church in Crete, and Paul is writing to him, giving him instructions on how to make the church a beautiful place. These women that we honored at the beginning of our service, they make Lake Hazel Bible Church a beautiful place. And I'm not just talking about the decorations and the bulletin boards. They give of their time. They give of their service to be able to serve the Lord, to make this a beautiful place. Now here in Titus chapter 2, Paul not only speaks to women, but he speaks about spiritual men and he speaks about spiritual women in the church. But before he even does that, guess what? He begins with the senior members of the church and their responsibility to transfer the heritage of their faith to the generation that comes behind them. And he begins with the men, challenging them to step it up spiritually through godly relationships. And then Paul addresses the women to reach out and to touch others. So the focus this Mother's Day is to be able to give attention to these instructions given to both the older and the younger spiritual women within the church. But even the things that Paul writes to the women also applies to us as men in the church as well. So there are some important instructions given to the spiritual women. The first one is spiritual women are to be an example. Spiritual women are to live in a way that honors God in everything. Hopefully by now you've found Titus chapter 2 in your Bibles. Look at verse 3. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to too much wine. They are to teach what is good. I love that. They are to teach what is good. And what is good? The Jesus way. Thank you, Jared, for sharing that song with us today. Now, this word older here, or aged, your translation may say aged, is not a reference to elderliness, but to maturity. Spiritual women are to be reverent in their behavior. And behavior points to demeanor or inner character. In fact, it comes from the Greek word kastameia, which is a manner of life. And this is the only place in the New Testament where this word is used. But this word is in the writings of Josephus, of Plutarch, and a few other Greek sources. And it is understood that the word behavior refers to a person's condition or state. Now, in our American English, the word behavior refers to conduct or manners. You ever told your kids, ladies, when they were growing up, you need to be on your best behavior? What were you saying? You need to show manners. You need to make sure that your conduct is acceptable, right? And in the older English of the 1600s, behavior referred much more to a person's inner characteristics, which would in turn lead to a suitable outward behavior. And when this word was used to describe a person, it meant worthy of reverence or respect. So what is God trying through Paul to be able to teach the women of the church? That they are to be of a good reputation or a good manner of life that is worthy of respect as a spiritual woman of God. Again, let's focus our attention on verse 3. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to too much wine. They are to teach what is good. Let's talk about slanderers and malicious gossips. Now, this is a word in the Greek that is used 34 times in the Bible, so it must be important, don't you think? And it is used in connection, you ready for this, with the devil. Because the Greek word here is the plural feminine of diabolos. And the verb form means to defame, to inform against, to bring charges with hostile intent. This is where we get our English word diabolical. It means to throw things at people. So a godly woman will not repeat damaging stories about others. She will not spread rumors or half-truths that damage someone's reputation or could bring about division. In fact, I think what Paul is trying to get these women to understand here in this church in Crete is to follow what it says in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. There it says, there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. So Paul is stating that spiritual women are not to talk and act like those who are overly controlled by alcohol. I've been around people that have been controlled by alcohol. Many of you know that I grew up in an alcoholic family. I grew up going to bars all of my life, up until the time that I turned 18 and I left home to go to college in Iowa, go to Bible college in Iowa, okay? All right? I was around alcoholics all the time. I know how controlling alcohol is. I know how it changes people. It changes some people for the good. It changes most people for the bad. And I've seen it over and over again. And so there is a connection between a loose or an unbridled tongue and an intoxicating drink. Ladies, we need to be in self-control. We need to be, in fact, in Ephesians, it says we are to be controlled by the Spirit, not to be given to too much wine, because wine, alcohol, has a control over us. You know, in ancient Greece, Socrates was reputed to hold knowledge in high esteem. One day, an acquaintance met the great philosopher and said, "Do you know what I just heard about your friend?" "Hold on a minute," Socrates replied. "Before telling me anything, I'd like you to pass a little test. It's called the triple filter test." "Triple filter?" his acquaintance said. "That's right," Socrates continued. "Before you talk to me about my friend, it might be a good idea to take a moment and filter what you're going to say. That's why I call it the triple filter test. The first filter is truth. Have you made absolutely sure that what you are about to tell me is true?" "No," the man said. "Actually, I just heard about it and..." "All right," said Socrates. "So you really don't know if it's true or not. Now let's try the second filter, the filter of goodness. Is what you are about to tell me about my friend something good?" "No, on the contrary," said the man. "So," Socrates continued, "you want to tell me something bad about him, but you're not even certain that it's true. You may still pass the test, though, because there's one filter left, the filter of usefulness. Is what you want to tell me about my friend going to be useful to me?" "No, not really," the man said. "Well," concluded Socrates, "if what you want to tell me is neither true, nor good, nor even useful, why tell it to me at all?" Man, there's some valuable lessons in that, isn't there? Before we say anything to anyone about someone else, we need to make sure that it's true. We need to make sure that it's good. And we need to make sure that it's useful. And if it doesn't meet any of those three tests, then you know what? We just better not say it at all. Weren't you taught that? Weren't we all taught that? If you can't say something nice about someone, don't what? Say anything at all. And I think that's what Paul is wanting these ladies in the church at Crete to be able to hold on to. And you know what, men? It's not just a lady problem. It's a men problem as well. Here's the second thing that God wants them to be able to know. Spiritual women are to teach good things. Let's go back to verse 3. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to too much wine. They are to teach what is good. I love that. Spiritual women are to teach what is good. The word good is often translated beautiful or attractive. And this is taught by the teaching of the truths of God's word and the living out in our lives of God's truth. spiritual women are to encourage the younger women in the church family. What's the best way to be able to do that? To teach them. Teach them God's truth. Teach them, by the way, to live out God's truth as well. And you know what? We honored some women who are involved in some of the teaching ministries here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. They're doing that. In fact, we have women right now teaching children's church. Did you know that? They're following what it is that God's word says. All right, let's look at the third instruction. The third instruction is this. Spiritual women are to set a godly example. Look at verses 4 and 5. And so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Paul lists 7 responsibilities that need to be displayed in spiritual women. Let's kind of go through those 7 responsibilities. Number 1, to love their husbands. And it's interesting that in the Greek, the instruction to love their husbands is only one word in the Greek. It's the compound word philandros, taken from the word phileo, which means affection, and andros, which means man. Now, let's be truthful. Love is not automatic. Ladies, listen. I know that some of the men that God has given to you in your lives are not the easiest ones to love most of the time. Okay? But you know what? We still need to what? Love them. We need to love them while God is working on them. It's not your job to change them. They are not a project given to you by God, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment. They are not a project given to you by God. So when you're frustrated, what do? Give them to God and say, God, I've gone as far as I can go. So you know what? You have to deal with them now. I remember years ago when we were living in Spokane, I had some extra time, which was rare, and I was flipping through the TV channels, which I don't normally do, but I was. And there was this talk show with this talk show host named Sally Jesse Raphael. You may have heard of her. Okay, she had the weird glasses, and she had a squeaky voice, but her talk show at the time was pretty popular. And she's interviewing Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's wife. And so I thought, this ought to be good. So I just kind of kept there, and I kind of listened. And Ruth talked about growing up in China, and she talked about her parents being missionaries in China, and then they came home to the United States, and then her dad got busy in the publishing business for the denomination that they were with, and she went to Wheaton College. And while she was in Wheaton College, one day there appeared this tall, lanky guy from North Carolina, and everybody knew him as Billy. And he was kind of, she said, handsome. And he really had a love for God. And it was evident everywhere that he went that he had a love for God. And she said, I just thought, wow, what a nice young man this is. She never dreamed that Billy Graham someday would even figure out who she was on that campus. And one day Billy Graham came and said, hey, would you like to go and just have a cup of coffee with me and let's just talk? And she said, my heart fluttered. She said, it was so special. And she said, from that moment on, I was captivated by the love that this man had for God and for God's word. And then we began to date, and then he asked me to marry him, and oh, it was so great. And then she said, then it didn't take very long for me to find out that he's a man. And she said, and I began to be able to pray for Billy Graham every single day, that God would work in his heart to make him more and more like Jesus. And I thought, wow, this is really good. And so then Sally Jesse Raphael, being the reporter that she is, she takes advantage of this open door, and she says, so Mrs. Graham, how about if you tell us some of the annoyances of Billy Graham? If there was some things about Billy Graham that you would like to change, what would they be? I'm sure that our audience of women that are listening would love to be able to hear that. And I thought, man, I'm glad she's not asking Becky, because this show would go on for 3 more days. And so I love what Mrs. Graham said. She looked Jesse Raphael in the square in the eyes. And she said, you know, Jesse, She said, my job is not to change Billy Graham. That's God's job. My job is to love him while God is changing him to be the man of God that God desires for him to be. And I thought, how cool is that? You know where that came from? Titus chapter 2. She was that kind of woman. And man, it just strengthened their marriage. It strengthened their relationship. And it was just so beautiful to be able to see. I know that love is not automatic. It takes deliberate effort. And spiritual wives should accept their husbands as a good gift God has given to them. And likewise, men, you need to treat your wives as the good gift that God has given to you through them as well. It goes both ways. Here's the second instruction: to love their children. Bring up their children to love and to trust God and his word. Also, to be discreet. This means having a sense of what is appropriate for believers and to avoid extremes. I think that also goes back to don't be slanderous, don't be gossips. To be chaste, pure, modest, blameless. That's what that word chaste means. The spiritual woman or man, this even includes the men, is to be as diligent in keeping himself or herself pure. And as pure as the ermine. Do you know what an ermine is? It's an animal that lives in the forest of Northern Europe. And this little animal is highly prized for its snow-white fur in winter. They instinctively protect their white coat against anything that would soil it. Fur hunters take advantage of this unusual trait of the ermine. They don't set a snare to catch it, but instead they find the ermine's home, usually in a cleft of a rock or in a hollow of a tree, and then they smear the entrance with grease and dirt. And then the hunters set their dogs loose to chase the ermine. The frightened animal naturally flees towards its home, but refuses to enter because of the grease and the dirt on the entry. And rather than soil their white coat, they become trapped by the dogs and captured while preserving their purity. Because for the ermine, purity is more precious than life. What a lesson that is for us. Ladies, don't ever forsake your purity. Men, don't ever forsake your purity for the things of this world, for the temptations that the devil may bring your way. Another one of those instructions for them to be an example is to be homemakers. This means that spiritual women are to maintain and keep orderliness in the home. And a wise spiritual husband allows his wife to manage some of the affairs of the household so that her God-given ministry can be fulfilled. You know, each one of these women that we honored this morning at the beginning of our service, each one of them not only manage their households, they manage the house of God as well here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. And then the last one is to be good, good-natured, kind-hearted, following the instruction in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, where it says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. You know what? This instruction in Ephesians chapter 4 is for both men and women alike. You know, it's been said that kindness is a language that deaf people can hear and that blind people can see. You know what? We can't be overly kind. We can't be overly kind. We need to be kind to believers and unbelievers, and then to be obedient to their own husbands in line with God's ordained authority for the family. And then I'm going to close with this one. Spiritual women are to pass along a message. Look at verse 5. To be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. When spiritual women follow the truths of Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, their behavior will keep the word of God from being dishonored by those who might observe inconsistency between the instructions of God's word and the inconsistent lives of believers. You've heard it said from this pulpit over and over again that God has given us his instructions, And he wants us to follow those instructions, whether we be men or whether we be women. And he wants us to do it consistently, not with inconsistencies. So, ladies, what do I want you to walk away with today? Here's what I want you to walk away with. Use your gifts and abilities for God. If you are a lady here this morning and you believe in Jesus as Savior, you've been given a spiritual gift. Use it for God. Don't keep it hidden. Don't keep it locked up. Use your gifts and abilities for God. Here's the second thing I want you to walk away with. Meet the needs of others when you are able. And here's the third. Glorify God in all that you do. When Jesus was here, he said something that I think is very, very profound for all of us this morning. And it's recorded for us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. And it says this. Jesus said, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Ladies, men, all who are assembled here this morning, let people see your good works, not so that you could be praised, not so that you could be glorified, but so that God is, because that's what it's all about. Father, I thank you for what it is that you've allowed us to be able to see this morning, and I thank you for the ladies that are present here this morning. And Father, I pray that this will be a very special day for them. I pray that they will feel honored, whether they are mothers or not. And Father, I pray that you will allow each and every one of us to be able to be consistent in following the instructions that you have given to us in your word, so that when people look at our lives, they don't see the inconsistency. They see the consistency. And when they see that consistency, it's not so that we can get the praise, so that we can get the glory, but it's so that you will be glorified. Father, help us to be able to make that the goal and purpose of our lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please stand and join me for this last song.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the Son sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the Son sets free. Oh, it's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Oh, I am who you say I am. Who the Son sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I'm a
child of God. Yes, I am.